Well, good evening. Got quiet, so I guess that was my cue to come up and do announcements. But it's good to see everyone back this evening. Hope everyone had a relaxing, restful afternoon. Welcome to the church that meets here at University for our members and especially for our guests. We are glad that you're here. And if this is your first time coming and worshiping with us tonight, if you would, if you haven't, we're not given a visitor's card when you walked in this morning. If you would, raise your hand. One of our ushers will get one to you at this time. Okay, I don't see any hands. All right. Again, we are going to be having a worship and song this evening. The list is up behind me, hopefully. And let's go ahead and prepare our minds and hearts to worship our God this evening in song. We're going to go ahead and start off with a prayer. Carter Gay will lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for all the many blessings that we have, for being able to come here tonight and sing praises to your name. We ask that our service tonight will be acceptable in your sight and that all of us here will be edified by it. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who aren't here tonight, whether they be traveling, whether they be sick physically or spiritually. Help us to reach out to them and give them the help that they need. Lord, thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins, for without that, none of this would be possible. This life wouldn't matter. Lord, we love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
First song this evening will be number one, Holy, Holy, Holy. Number one. Again, I'd like to read Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Verse 2 of this song talks about how they laid down their golden crowns. So let's praise the one who created us. Number one, holy, holy, holy. Let's try and not let the tempo drag. Stay with me.
Holy, holy. Mercy.
and our praise of God, and then our, through that joy, our spreading of the gospel to those around us. Let's remember that this week. Oh, Father, draw me close to you.
Having children and being a father has been a huge learning experience for me. Not only in just learning how to be a parent and how to raise children, but in just learning from kids and the way that they respond to one another and the way that they respond to you. Every day you learn something new. One thing I've noticed about my children and children in general is that they're very concerned with fairness. That's not fair, Dad. He has more than me. Why does she get to have that and I don't? You know, that's just not fair. This idea of what is fair or just, I think, is not only seen in children, but in our society today, it's very important to us that things are fair. That we work so hard to make sure that we don't get taken advantage of, that if someone harms us or does something wrong to us, that they're persecuted or they're prosecuted or that we're compensated. You know, we make sure that we are never taken advantage of and that everything is fair. You know, I think that as Christians, we need to be careful about our attitude in dealing with these types of situations when we're wronged. When not only when we come in contact with our brethren, but and definitely in the way that we deal with them, with people in the world. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12, I'd like to read some passages that illustrate this point. Romans chapter 12, and in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, Paul describes here someone who's not looking out for themselves, not making sure that their rights are not infringed upon, but looking out for the interest of others. This is the type of selflessness that we are supposed to emulate in our own lives, putting ourselves under our brethren, submitting ourselves to the needs of others. And I think we understand this point intellectually, but applying that in our everyday lives, many times we're clouded with our own wants and our own desires, and we don't do the things that Christ would have us to do. If you would turn over to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks about this very same principle in the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 38, he says, "You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." Jesus here in this first sermon describes how a follower of Christ should act towards his brother. An attitude of selflessness, of meekness, not concerned with your own well-being, but giving of myself constantly. And even to my enemy, he says in verse 43, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you will be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Loving your enemy, probably one of the most profound yet foundational principles in the Bible and definitely in Christianity. These two principles, loving your enemies and not being overcome with evil but overcoming evil with good, cornerstones of Christianity. Why is that? Because they're the two of the main characteristics of Jesus Christ. In Philippians, the second chapter, And in verse 5, it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God gave up everything for you. Jesus gave up everything for you. He emptied himself for people who hated him. He was reviled and did not revile in return, but gave himself even unto death. Jesus took the fair punishment. It was just that we would die for our sins, but yet God gave his only son so that we could get what was unfair, so that we could have everlasting life. And know this one thing, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And where will you be when that day comes? If you're not a Christian and you haven't been baptized, that day will be terrifying. And so I ask you tonight to come to Jesus. Be saved through his death. Come take what God has given to you through his Son. Come now as we stand and sing.